What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema, episode number 149. My name is Grayson Maxwell.
And it's me, Roger Stillian.
Hanging out with you tonight. Going to talk about some movies. We got Charlie's Angels, Ford v. Ferrari, The Good Liar, and the pilot episode for The Mandalorian on the docket tonight. Strap in, get ready. Here we go. Roger, how was your week, my friend?
Let's talk about cats for a minute. So
go ahead, Roger. Go ahead.
So I've been talking about this movie, I don't know, for a while, about how horrific it looks because of the animation.
It doesn't look good.
Well, we found out there may be a budget. Grayson, would you like to take a stab at what the budget could be?
A budget for cats. Let's go with the hundo. I mean,
you've seen the animation style.
I've seen the animation style, and you told me that it was all animation, so I'm going to guess $100 million is the budget.
Okay, so it's 230 million pounds, so that's 300 plus million US dollars.
Whoa. Holy crap. That's a lot.
I want you to wrap your mind around this little fact.
That was the budget
Avengers
of...
Avengers Endgame cost $330 million.
And cats.
10% less.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's horrific.
You know what else is? I don't think it's going to make even a hundo back. I don't even think it's. You think it's going to hit 100 million?
No.
Lord, I mean, we're probably going to beat in our word. It's probably going to do like 600 million or something. Well,
even if it makes 600.
I'm talking worldwide, though.
Even if it clears 600? Dude, how? That's. If you put 300 million into a movie, you got to clear a billion. You have to make it truly profitable.
No. I mean, you got to clear at least 500. I mean, look at Alita. Alita, they sank money into that, and they were still not in the positive when that
was done.
What
would you rather watch? Alita again or Cats?
Probably Alita, I'll be honest with you. But, I mean, that's also my fanboyism for Cameron. But what would you rather watch? Not having the same Cameron fanboyism.
Not Cats?
Fair enough. So whatever the other movie was, you'd choose that one.
Yeah. Cats versus the Field. I'm taking the Field.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for that. That's mind-blowing.
That's all I have.
300 million U.S. for a cast.
Like,
budget.
I saw
look,
that.
It's got a good cast, though. I mean...
That's fine.
Going into it, that's all I know.
I saw that number come through this week, and I immediately texted Grace, and I was like, oh my god. how is that a thing?
I don't know. I mean, they must be expecting... Because you have to assume that they have people that do focus groups, they do, you know, marketing people who would say... It could make this much, so we can sink up to this much in it. So,
I don't know.
That's
man.
A lot of money to sink into a musical.
Sinking Jeez. Is probably the word.
I mean, it might be. I mean, I don't want anything to lose money, but I'm just not excited for cats. All right, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's the old we get from Roger's. Yeah. This is episode 149 of For the Love of Cinema, which posts each and every Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. on Podbean, which is then distributed to iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Each and every week, we start with the box office. Well, we get current and upcoming releases. We get Alex caught up on a good movie when he is here. I hear he's going to return next week, a little rumor. We talk about some trailers and then some movies we are excited to talk to you about. We talk about those and then leave you with a hidden gem recommendation for streaming, because we have so many streaming services now. There's never a chance you won't find anything to watch on any streaming service.
You want to talk about my Pokemon team for a minute?
I don't, but you know, you want to talk about your Pokemon team, so why don't you have the floor for 60 seconds.
60 seconds? I'm going to need 20 minutes or so.
No, we got 60 seconds for you.
All right, I have 6 gym badges at this point, playing like an hour a day. It's pretty easy to roll through this game. It's actually semi-difficult. I'm surprised by this.
Really? Why are you surprised by it?
Well, because normally... I challenge myself to not get my Pokemon knocked out after the first playthrough, because I got to know what's coming. I don't know if I can do that, because...
Really?
Yeah, you haven't played it yet. You don't understand.
You can just take the Grayson approach and just be super leveled at all times.
It won't help for you.
Why?
Because...
Why wouldn't it help?
Even if you're max leveled, by the time you get to some areas, it won't help you.
Why wouldn't it help you? They don't scale with you.
Yeah. They're going to be 20 above you.
Oh, okay, fair.
Because you're going to run into things you can't touch.
Fair enough. Well, all right, that's the Pokemon talk. That's a big release, man. It's doing gangbuster money, so.
Yeah, it's the number one selling Switch game of all time after 12 days. I want you to wrap your mind around that.
It beat Zelda, too?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm surprised. That surprised me.
It kicked Zelda down the stairs, bro.
Fair enough. Well, this is that's your Nintendo update for this episode. All right.
Pokemon made Zelda look like cats.
Did you, dude? We have a number for Pokemon since we're talking about box office. You want to?
I can run it. Sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna see that number. Let me get what we came out of the way. Box office numbers. For the latest weekend, November 22nd through 24th, as I made a mistake last week of reading the dailies, but this is the weekend, Frozen 2 has done quite well for itself, starting off with a very strong start. 350 million worldwide take, 127 of it is domestic, so that's doing very well for itself. We're going to get into that one next week.
Launch week for Sword and Shield, 6 million copies.
Jeez. Do the quick math. Let's just do 6 million times 50 bucks.
300 million.
That's good money.
Suck it, Frozen.
Ford v. Ferrari is number two. Excellent movie. 103 million worldwide, 57 of it being domestic. Not too shabby for that one. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which was shot in Pittsburgh, has a worldwide total of 13.5 million. That's only a domestic total, by the way.
Okay.
Not a strong start, but I feel like that's got staying power. Anything with Tom Hanks is staying
power.
Yeah,
it's going to be good, too.
So. I feel like it'll be through January that movie will be in the theaters. 21 Bridges, 12 million worldwide, not a strong start, 9.3 of it being domestic.
21 Bridges number 4. Not hearing great things about 21
Bridges. I actually kind of held out for that, but we'll see. We'll talk about that one next week, along with A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood and Frozen 2. Number 5, Midway, still in the top 5. Good for 81 million worldwide. 43 of it is domestic. But seeing as how that was, what did you say, Roger? A $98 million budget?
Something like that, yeah.
They're still operating on a complete loss, but it is what it is. We got into that one last week. Check out our episode on that if you just saw it recently. And that is your box office for the top 5. I don't think any surprises there. 6 through 10 are as follows. Playing with Fire, The Good Liar, Charlie's Angels, right where it belongs, number 8. Last Christmas, number 9. Number 10, Joker, again, the first rated R movie to cross the billion-dollar mark. So, again.
Props.
Props to Joker. 10 through 20, some notable ones that we've talked about. Harriet is number 10. No. Sorry. Joker's number 10. Number 11 is Harriet. 12 is Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. 13, Doctor Sleep. 14, Jojo Rabbit. 16, Terminator Dark Fate. Damn it. Let's see the total on that one so far. 249 worldwide. That's not bad. All right, thank you for bringing my heart.
I wish I could. You know what? I'm going to start getting sound drops for like the sad tuba from Price is Right.
Fair enough. Bum, bum, bum. Zombieland Double Tap is still hanging on the top 20, number 17. Black and Blue, 18. Countdown, number 19 and 20. Honey Boy, that is an Amazon Studios movie. Lighthouse has been kicked out. That's 21. Shame we didn't get to see that one.
Never got anywhere close to us, really.
Pittsburgh, but it was in very select times, too. So this past weekend, November 22nd, brought us 21 Bridges, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and Frozen 2. Excuse me. My thing went down. There we go.
Sorry for the delay, folks. I hate that redesign.
Yeah, it's terrible. November 27th, this following week, Thanksgiving week brings us Knives Out and Queen and Slim. December 6th, The Aeronauts and Roger's favorite movie, Playmobil, the movie. December 13th, Black Christmas, Bombshell, Jumanji, The Next Level, and Richard Jewell. December 20th, Cats. Bum, bum, bum. Wow. Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker. And January 3rd, after the 20th, will be the next one. That is January 3rd, 2020.
Bum, 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 bum.
The Grudge, the remake of The Grudge. All right, Roger.
Is that it? Only one movie coming out
there? Well, that first week of January is historically pretty slow.
You know, we're not getting anything from the 20th all the way through, so I don't know.
But so Star Wars is going to have staying power like no one's business. I'm sure Black Christmas, Bombshell will do well. I'm given the cast of those. Jumanji will do excellent. Richard Jewell is the Clint Eastwood movie about the Atlanta bombings. Mm-hmm. I assume that A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Frozen 2 will still be sticking around. It doesn't look like as packed as the holidays we're used to seeing,
We're packed right now, which is weird. We're packed for Thanksgiving instead of December.
But I remember a time when Thanksgiving was, nothing else was open except the movie theater. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was still in high school at that time. When I was in college, things started opening up at like 7 p.m., 6 p.m. on Thanksgiving. But it was a pretty big deal to work on Thanksgiving because it was so busy. Mm-hmm. Everyone was out. Everyone and their mother was out at the movie theaters.
Yep.
Holy mother, you could...
No. Do you remember the days when, like, on Christmas Day, you'd have 5 or 6 movies on Christmas Day releasing?
That one year when we got Marley and Me at Christmas, there was, like, 6 movies that year. Yeah, because it was, like, Marley
and
Me,
and then that, what's the Adam Sandler movie? There was one of those, not Click, but where, like...
Just Go With It or something?
No, like, the Bedtime Story movie.
Oh, Bedtime Story, that was okay. With Cara Russell, mm-hmm. and Adam Sandler.
And something and a couple other things.
Slumdog, was that a Christmas movie?
That was like a Thanksgiving.
That was a holiday-ish. Okay, it wasn't. But that was the same year as Slumdog, yeah. And that was a big Christmas. I remember that. This was not so big. But, I mean, I think everything's afraid of Star Wars, I'll be honest. I think...
Well, I mean, in their defense, it's probably a good call to be afraid of it. I mean, like, unless you're guaranteed to pull in a crowd, I probably wouldn't pick that fight.
It's probably not a smart fight to pick. Just let Star Wars have its time. I mean, 6 years from now, we finally get the second Avatar movie.
Well, I mean, we could all, like, I'm not trying to knock Star Wars when I say this. It could be the worst Star Wars movie ever made, and you still don't want to be near it on every weekend.
No, of course not.
You just don't.
Well, let me ask you this, since we're on it. Frozen 2 had a, 127 domestic, 350 worldwide. Do you think Star Wars will beat those numbers?
I don't know.
That's hard to tell, because...
I don't know.
Frozen has the...
I think it'll be a loss for them if they don't.
Well, Frozen has the advantage of, like, in order for a kid to see it, a parent's got to go with them. You know, it's not because of rating, it's just because a kid can't get there.
Sure.
Kid can't pay for a ticket. So, and those are... Well, it's targeting young... I think it's safe to say targeting young girls, right, Frozen? That's target audience for Frozen.
Younger people, sure.
Younger people. But, like, the same... Now those people that saw Frozen in 2013 are 6 years older now, so... It's got a built-in audience that are now late teenage, early 20s, mid-20s. Is that fair to say? So.
Well, I don't know if you're going to get a lot of late 20s people busting through for Frozen right off the bat.
I would imagine...
Listen, Frozen's going to have its own staying power. I mean, we watched the other movie just rake.
Right? Oh, man.
For months.
Shout out to that guy who took his daughter to see it like 57 times. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
We stopped charging him for the ticket. He still had to pay for his concessions, but... And bless her heart, she'd wear the same dress every single day with a wand. Do you remember that?
You guys should have called CPS.
He was a good father. What do I call CPS for?
Because maybe he's negligent and his kid is just wearing the same clothes every day.
Or he's not working and not making money to support his kid.
That's right. Then you didn't start paying him, you feed him his cocaine habit. Think about it.
All right. Well, not a shout out to you guy. So I don't know what your name is, but don't be negligent, please. All right. Trailer watch. We've seen the Knives Out trailer a million times, Roger. What is what's it trending with? Knives Out going to?
As of 2 days ago when I checked it, Knives Out's rolling along with a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes.
97.
I swear to God, I'm probably gonna hate it.
I have a feeling I'm not gonna be a huge fan of it.
You know, like, I want to talk about this trailer for just a second, even though we've all seen it 100 times at this point. This trailer, these trailers are annoying to me now because they're so loud and, like, they do, like, cut after cut after cut, like, bang, 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 bang. I'm tired of it.
Only because you see it so often.
That's what I mean, right? No, we're not like the general public because we do watch a lot of movies. But do I, like, when I went and saw Ford v Ferrari a couple of days ago, which I loved, by the way, we'll talk about that soon, I didn't see any new trailers. Every trailer that was attached to that movie, I had seen before.
I had managed to avoid the Richard Jewell trailer.
How?
And I just saw for the... I don't know. I'll get to the movies later. Lately, I've been getting... Because that's so time-demanding.
Okay.
It's just... That's fine. Yeah. When I was in Canada watching movies, it was just... Because I went with my accountant, and she is chronically late to everything. So, if a movie started at 7:30, we got in the theater at 7:50 because she didn't want to see trailers. So that's fine.
Well, I mean, I understand getting there because you don't want to watch trailers. And I'm totally okay with walking in as the last trailer rolls.
But seeing the same trailer 150 times.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is like seeing something like Ford v Ferrari, an adult-oriented movie that's not rated R, by the way, but definitely draws an older crowd. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get some more sophisticated trailers.
You'd think.
You would think so. And wasn't really the case.
Yeah, I mean...
I was the youngest person in Ford v Ferrari by 25 years.
I think I might have been too. There was like 7 people in mine. I was the only single person though. All the rest were couples.
I actually got annoyed for another couple because me and my wife went, and so there were two other couples in the theater when we got there. So as a common courtesy, I sit nowhere near them. Right, unnecessary because especially at a local AMC where it's in the Big D Theater, the biggest theater they have. Like, what is it, 250 seats or something like that?
It's approaching 300, somewhere between 200 and 300.
So, okay, plenty of seats available, okay, because there are, you know, 6 people in the theater.
And then another couple comes in and sits diagonal in front of one of the other couples. Not, and I mean like one seat to the left, just like not directly in front of
the
them.
Row down.
Yes. Seats?
Okay.
And gotcha. I looked at him. I was like, and I was just like, no, don't even do it. And I was like, oh my God, they're doing it.
But I, was it in the center? That's kind of close, a contested though. Place, though. You know.
But if there's no one else in the theater, go down five seats and sit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can, like, I shouldn't be able to reach out and touch you.
All right, that's you know. That's an invasion of private of your personal, because like a personal space in a theater like that should be like 10 feet of personal
exactly.
space.
Exactly. I should have a halo around me.
You a 10-foot halo, right? Movie. Right. Of course.
Listen, you go to a movie opening weekend like Frozen. You got to sit next to somebody. So be it. Listen, midweek Ford v Ferrari. I went to a 4:45 show, Ford v Ferrari. There's nobody here, man. Don't sit anywhere near me. Like, if it was,
would you
me,
have moved? That were you?
No, I would have said something and then I would have moved.
What would you have said?
I would have been like, that's really where you're going to sit. I would ask that question. And when I got the quizzical look, I'd be like, it's fine. Sit wherever you want because I wasn't here already.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I mean, I would definitely have
moved. I don't see a problem with it as much as you do. I think it's, now that you explained it, I think it's weird. I don't think
it's bad theater etiquette. It's like standing next to somebody at a bunch of open urinals. You don't need to do that.
Like 1-3-5. Yep. Not 2-4.
Listen, unless it's completely full and it's like you're a sporting event, you're just, you know, taking the next spot in line. Listen, I go in one, there's 12 empty, and you stand right beside me. We get a problem, bro.
We get a problem, bro. The 1-3-5 rule has to be
observed. I wouldn't even do that to my friends to freak them out.
I would. I did in high school, too, but I was a weird kid in high school.
Yeah, in high school.
I was a weird kid. Yes, all the time. Thank you, Roger, for that. All right, well, yeah, so we've talked about that. Theater etiquette is a thing, ladies and gentlemen.
It should be. All right. Also, clean up after yourself, you slobs.
I agree. I don't understand the people that... I don't understand the people that just get up, leave everything, and walk away. Just, you walk by the trash can on your way out. You're not going out of your way to go to the trash can. It's literally, no matter which way you exit the theater, and you have to because the exit door is shut in the theater you went into, you're walking by a trash can. Like, literally, you cannot avoid it.
Yeah, there's no way.
So just pick up your stuff. What's so hard about
it's
that?
It's like, and I'm not even trying to be mean. Like, if you spill some popcorn, I don't care if you pick that up.
But the bag.
Pick the bag up.
The bag and the cup and the whatever tray you had. Yeah, of course.
Just throw it in the trash can.
I agree 100%. All right, Roger, let's talk about Fantasy Island, a trailer that we saw set for 2020 by Blumhouse. Looks to be kind of a spin on the old show, Fantasy Island. And now they've turned, of course, Blumhouse gets involved, they turn into a horror.
Sure.
Like Roger was joking when we watched the trailer, the Blumhouse said, can we do this for $9 million, turn it to 50 or 60 million? Done. Do it.
Yeah, who you want? Well, I got Pena, Michael Pena. Done. How much he cost you? $2 million. What do you want? 2 weeks tops. Work.
That's right. Done. Yeah, I mean, that's your typical January movie.
Yeah.
It's not gonna change, it's not gonna reinvent the wheel. I think there might be a cool scene or two. As you see in the trailer, lots of gory stuff probably happens. But, I mean, it's just going to be the thing. That's going to be the only movie that we talk about.
Good for it.
For us.
I mean,
it's gonna okay. be a heavy streaming
movie. I mean, listen, we've joked about this all the time. I trust Blumhouse to make a small budget, decent horror movie, right?
At this point, I think they've earned that trust. Yeah.
You have no... Listen, obviously, they've thrown some duds out there, and they don't even care, because financially, it's a wash for them. But, I mean...
But even the duds make money.
Yeah, sorry. We have seen them, with under a $20 million budget, make a ton of money.
Yeah.
So...
Well, look at Halloween. Didn't we say that? Halloween was like a $9 million budget. It ended up making over 100.
Yeah.
Like, they funded the next 10 movies.
Wasn't Happy Death Day?
Happy Death Day made tons of money too.
Isn't that that's a Blumhouse, right?
That is a Blumhouse. Both of them. Well, the other one too. Yeah. But that made a ton of money too.
Dude, and I love the Happy Death Day movies. Like, I think those are great.
I think they're very clever. It's a different take on the whole Groundhog Day thing, but they're very clever, I think. Especially the lead actress. She made the movies what they were.
Sure.
But, I mean, they're fun. I can't watch it every day, but once, twice a year, I wouldn't mind.
No, it's totally
okay. I hope
okay.
Fantasy Island, though, is... It looks like Blumhouse has the formula of... Cast a bunch of great looking stars, young stars, put some gore in it, make it a horror movie, 90 minutes. That's like their formula, those three things. But it works.
Sure.
They turned $7 million into $40
million. Yeah. Well, and listen, if the movie's bad, I'll light it up. But other than that, you have to look at some of these with lowered expectations. If you make a bad movie and it costs $8 million, do you really care?
And you make 50? No, you don't care. You're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, as you clear your entire budget back opening weekend and go, we're cruising. Who's next?
So, look, I mean, again, that's going to be your basic January, just after the huge holiday movies. So, we'll look forward to that one. And lastly, for the trailer this week, Scoob is a new take on Scooby-Doo, an animated. It goes back to the origin of Shaggy and Scooby meeting, which I'm excited for, I guess. That's the one thing that I'm excited for. I've never seen it. If there is an origin story, this would be it, right?
Do we need a Scooby-Doo origin story?
No. No. You laugh in the middle of that. I mean, we need a Scooby-Doo origin story as much as we needed a Charlie's Angels reboot, which is not at all.
Yikes.
Yikes indeed.
So, I was okay with this trailer, though. I like the way it looks.
It's a different animation style, which I can appreciate.
It looks good animated-wise. You know, it's kind of funny. And it's Scooby-Doo. Like, I got no problem with Scooby-Doo, man.
Did Scooby... I've never been a huge Scooby fan, but did he always talk?
Yeah.
Like, full sentences?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that was weird to me at first, but I guess now it's not weird. And, of course, the one question Roger asks is, does no one notice that the dog is talking?
No one freaks out about it.
Of course, in their universe, all the dogs
like, this talk. Is okay in their world.
Normal, I guess. Normal. That's February 2020. That looks okay, so... I think
well, both the movies we both the ones besides Knives Out, the Fantasy Island are both February. Fantasy Island was Valentine's Day weekend.
No, it's January. Oh no, it was Fantasy Island.
Yeah, it was Valentine's Day, didn't it say?
What's January? Oh, January 3rd is The Grudge.
The Grudge.
Okay, so which, sorry, I'm
can we
mixed
talk
up.
About that for a second? Have you seen a Grudge trailer?
No. That's probably bad.
Think about that.
Yeah,
we're 35 days out.
But The Grudge, it's out on the web, but I haven't seen it in front of any movies. But I also may have missed it.
You think?
No, but I could have.
We have a movie podcast. I shouldn't miss trailers.
That's true. At least not this close to it in the game.
It was like you said, you finally watched the Richard Jewell trailer, but you know the Richard Jewell trailer has been out for weeks.
Yeah, it's true. It also looks fantastic. Actually, the show I was working on for the majority of 2018, Manhunt Season 2, is also about that. And that show is, I don't care if I get in trouble for this, grossly over budget. Like, we're talking millions over budget. But I think the only reason that they didn't shut the show down was because it's going to ride the heels of this. The Clint Eastwood movie, and people are going to be so high and stoked after this one, they're going to watch it. But I don't think there's any of the same elements in the show that there is in Richard Jewell. But Richard Jewell actually looks pretty good. It's got a huge cast.
Sure.
Huge cast. Clint Eastwood, though, I mean, look. If Clint Eastwood wants you, who would say no to working with Clint Eastwood?
Not many people.
Not many people. So, although he had some turds. The Mule wasn't great. I don't think the Mule wasn't even good. It
what
was just,
the other one about all the people that died? Like in the scene, like, oh God, what was that movie?
With Matt Damon.
No, not that one.
The Hereafter? You sure?
Was that The Hereafter?
I think that was The Hereafter. Yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
That didn't do well.
No.
That was right after.
It was okay, though.
That was right after Invictus, which did great.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. I just watched that recently on, I think it was Netflix. That's a great movie.
Yeah, Invictus is good. Invictus was right after, that was right after Gran Torino.
Oh, Gran Torino was like the reinvention of Clint Eastwood making films again. Yeah, that's a hell of a movie too, man. Sure. Although the acting sucked at some points, it's still a very strong contender for, you know, great movie. I want Clint Eastwood to make movies forever, but he's getting up
he's
there.
He's old, man. He's old.
But he's still doing it. He's still working the production days. No, granted, he only does two takes and moves on, and his team only works on production. Mostly you work 12-hour days on set. They want to get there. They want to work the time. They want to make their day, getting the shots they need. I bet he works 8 to 9 and is done. And you're still getting paid for a full 12 hours of this. Like, that's got to be the best. Right. It's got to be the best situation ever. So anyway, so that's a little bit about Clint Eastwood. All right, Roger, you want to start with Mandalorian?
We can.
Let's start with Mandalorian. See how that
how
works
many episodes did you watch?
One.
I just watched the one.
I just watched one.
Well, because it is episodic and it's only coming out once a week.
So this not so Disney Plus. This is the original on Disney Plus. This is the reason to own Disney Plus. Besides all the other great content, you know.
Besides everything else,
tons of out of the vault stuff. You have a ton of like the great. Early 2000s, 2006-ish, the Disney sports movies like Miracle, Remember the Titans,
sure.
Invincible, all pretty solid movies.
You know what we don't got?
What?
Song of the South. Disney's Black Eye.
You know what I was looking for, too? It was Mighty Ducks Disney?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to see the Mighty Ducks, actually.
The Mighty Ducks animated series is in there. The movies aren't right now because somebody else has the rights to them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hopefully they get it back so I can send in that script for the Dark Reboot.
You do you, Roger. You do you.
Hey.
The dark and gritty reboot.
Listen, I could do it.
Fair enough.
Budgeted cheaply, too, by the way.
So, a little bit about Disney Plus first is it doesn't have a lot of content. I was going through the site. It only has, like, 6 or 7 categories. But the stuff they have is, like, it's stuff. It's stuff that you have seen or you want to watch.
There are big boy movies in there.
Even the Out of the Vault stuff, the animated stuff, it's all good. You know what I mean? Some of that stuff like Iron Will.
Dude, I can go back and watch Darkwing Duck from 91. All in, baby.
All in, baby. Even that stuff like Iron Will. What's it like? The Davy Crockett movie. I saw that. I mean, that's just the history of Disney. But, I mean, it's... Look, I mean, they have good stuff. I watched all the sports movies this week all in, like, one day. Invincible, Miracle. I've seen Miracle
many times.
Go to work,
you bum.
I'm working from home right now. I'm doing post on my show for the next week, but I'm working from home, but I still watch stuff.
By watching Disney Plus.
I just put it on in the background. That's how I work. Anyway, So let's talk about Mandalorian. Now, they're not doing the Netflix strategy, which is just release it all at once, which I think hurts Netflix these days.
I have my theories. So when you do the Netflix dump it all and let it go, which is fine. It was their thing for the binge watch.
I don't think it's going to be their thing.
Well, I think the binge watch might be kind of like going away.
On the back nine?
Yes.
And here's my theory behind that. Is now I follow a couple of YouTubers, not much anymore, but I think because Roger, here's what kills me is like when like a movie comes out like Frozen, there's already like 37 reviews up for it. Mm-hmm. So I think
Get to watch the movie before you do.
Well, but they're like normal people. But like AMC does the early stuff. I could see if I wanted to, but our formula is different, so I don't worry about it. But
well, I want to watch stuff early.
Well, AMC will let you.
Good.
Fair enough.
I need credentialed.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, so do you think it hurts it if it were, let's say, for instance, binge all of a Netflix show one season and then someone gets on there and does a review for it, 15, 20 minute review talking about the whole season. Do you think that kills them for like, someone's like, I don't want to watch that
well,
now?
Well, let's talk about why the binge might be going away in general. Because, So Netflix is, things are about to get real tight for Netflix. Okay, a lot of content's going to be pulled in like 4 or 5 different directions.
What do you mean?
Well, they ain't going to have Friends anymore, which is one of their big boy things. True. They're going to lose The Office, which is their other giant one, because the Friends is going with the Warner Media, which is going to be the HBO Max thing, and Office is going to go when NBC releases their own streaming thing next year. Thank you, company that my company owns. What's up?
A little shout out.
To have something like, take one of their bigger shows, like Orange is the New Black.
Of course. Okay.
Excellent show. One of the biggest things for binging is that series. Well, don't be surprised if the next kind of round, something like that, it's episodic. Because listen, we'll give you every Monday morning, it'll come out. You know what I mean? So it can't be like, hey, Monday morning, come out, and by Friday, I'm done with the whole series. Because then you don't really talk about it too much more past the next 2 weeks.
But look at Game of Thrones. Like for like 8 weeks, that was the most. What happened for 6 weeks? That was the most talked about show ever.
Yeah, and it was bad.
Yeah. So you know, it's funny. There's a little aside. I was having a conversation with someone. Over the weekend about stuff he's watching. He's an old filmmaker friend of mine. He was visiting from Los Angeles. He's actually got some stuff like that just got bought. So he's now an accomplished writer. But shout out to my buddy Jeremy. Anyway, he's like, there are two types of people in this world, Grayson. People who thought Game of Thrones Season 8 was good, and people who thought it was atrocious. Don't be the former. Don't be the former. I was like, all right, I'm not. I'm on the atrocious side, brother. I thought it was bad.
It is bad. Yeah, there are people that hated it and then are idiots.
But point is, the non-binging approach worked for HBO, for at least Game of Thrones.
Sure. Well, I mean, it can work, and that's the thing. Because up until Netflix, there was no binge. Like, it wasn't a thing.
Well, like a DVD. You could buy a season on a DVD
and binge it. Yeah, but after it already had been released.
Right, that's true. Yeah, so it was old news anyway. But, well, Netflix changed a lot in a lot of respects. But
Netflix is about to change again, so.
Go on.
But, I mean, that's the thing. They cannot. I'd have a hard time believing that they could just start dumping whole seasons of shows again. Like, take Ozark.
I love Ozark.
Yeah, Ozark's great. What if you had to wait a week between episodes?
I wouldn't mind it. I would just wait till it's all done, though. That's what I would do.
Sure, is something you can do, of course.
I get so much anxiety.
Well, you could do that with the movie, with what we're supposed to be talking about, The Mandalorian. You could actually, because that's why we had talked about reviewing Mandalorian, and I told Grayson, like, I don't want to do a couple of episodes at a time because we'll get caught up. In 2 weeks, we would be caught up to the four episodes that they would have out, you know, if we did two episodes at a time. So if we do one and one and one and one and one, we actually get more content to talk about. Shout out to Mandalorian for that.
Thank you, Mandalorian.
But and it's just easier that way.
So. Yeah. So let's move into the Mandalorian since we're here. This is, of course, their primo reason to own Disney Plus right now. The creator is listed as Jon Favreau, which I mean, look, he's with the Marvel Universe. He did great things. As big of a problem as I have in the Marvel Universe, he's done wonderful things with it. I like Pedro Pascal as the Mandalorian. It took me a second to realize who it was, but the certain speech patterns, I got it pretty quick
for sure.
Yeah, but I think he's a good choice. I think he's going to be a good choice when the helmet finally comes off.
Sure.
In the finale of the first season, which, look, it's got to be a big deal because they talked about it six times in the first episode already.
You take your helmet off, he stares blankly into space. There's a lot of staring blankly into space in this.
Yeah, but it kind of works for it, though.
I respect the disrespect of that.
And Carl Weathers is Greef Karga. Werner Herzog is the client.
Werner Herzog.
Why is
he here?
That's a good question. I'm sure that's a story in its own self.
I mean, it has to be, right?
This is a weird... So let me get your... So going into this, Roger, how excited were you as a star, someone who likes Star Wars, how excited were you?
Yeah, 50-50.
I was probably about less than that, 46. I'm probably still sitting at the 40-60, 40 being, I could take it or leave it right now after the first episode. I wasn't wowed by the first episode.
I've creeped up a little bit. So I actually enjoyed the first episode quite a bit. And I look at it as if they continue down this path of, you know, basically the same kind of feel throughout each episode, I'm okay with it. And you know one of the reasons I was okay with it?
Why's that?
Because it's only 47 minutes long.
I saw that. It's the same length as it would be with commercials on TV.
Yeah, so I wonder what that's about.
What do you think they're going to put on Disney eventually? They could. I mean, the first one, of course, would be on the paid service.
Remember, they own ABC.
Well, look, Disney is quickly... I've heard rumors they're approaching another big studio about purchasing them, so I don't know how that's going to go. But, I mean, this, you know, Disney, once you purchase Fox...
They ain't going to buy anything else till they buy Spider-Man, bro.
Well, that's never good. Sony's never out of their cold, dead hands.
$2 billion.
I don't even think Sony will give it up for that much.
I bet you they would.
I don't think they would. Without Spider-Man, Sony doesn't have anything that anyone wants at that point.
Well, what do they have besides Spider-Man?
That's my point. Without
a video game console?
Well, the biggest video game. Let's be honest about that. But, I mean, outside of Spider-Man, they don't have anything. But I mean, Spider-Man recently just, without a doubt, one of the best movies ever made. I mean, if you're putting it on the best movie ever made list, it's got to be in the top 200.
What, Spider-Man?
Cinema in general. We're talking cinema in general. Some of the strongest stories told.
Martin Scorsese would have some issues with your statement.
I don't know, man. I'd love to hear Scorsese's on Into the Spider-Verse. But that's such a strong movie. Like, it just... Yeah. There's no waste in the script.
I love you put it all the way to top 200. Like, it's an Oscar winner.
And
you
I would.
You put 199 movies but,
like,
ahead of it.
They're the Citizen Kanes of the world. And, like, all, you know... That's an excellent movie, though. I mean, we're talking Spider-Man and Spider-Verse.
That's what I mean.
Excellent movie. I don't think I can justifiably put it in the top 100 yet.
Let me ask you a serious question about Spider-Man and the Spider-Man. I mean this seriously.
Shoot.
Let's take Rocky. The original Rocky.
Stallone, 76 Rocky, okay.
Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. You can only pick one.
For me, it comes down to which is the stronger narrative.
Death match. Pick one.
Five, four, three, two. I think Into the Spider-Verse has a stronger story.
Thank you.
I think it's got the stronger story. I love Rocky. I've seen it a million times. I just
stronger rewatched story. Creed 2 again.
That's
the
a great movie too.
It's great,
dude. Don't get me started on the whole Ivan Drago thing. Was brilliant to bring back. Holy mother!
So we actually going to talk about the Mandalorian today?
Sorry, back to Mandalorian. Sorry, I got back in my Creed 2. I just watched those. When I was in Canada, I borrowed one of my coworkers' steelbooks for both of them, and it's just, they're such good movies. Anyway, so The Mandalorian.
Did you like it or no?
Yes, I think for me, it's a positive all-around take, although I don't know what I expect going into it, but everyone was ranting and raving about it. So, again,
I don't have anything I'd rant and rave about right now.
Me neither.
I thought after one episode, I'm okay with it.
Well, but that's all I am. It didn't change my Star Wars world, though.
No.
Which I was kind of expecting from Favreau.
No, see, I don't think so. I mean, I never expected it. Because, listen, there are things in Star Wars that are untouchable.
Yeah, it's true. I would have thought Han Solo would have been one of them, but damn you, Solo. Well, okay, so it is... the Mandalorian is a bounty hunter, and he is, of course, trying to find bounties to get money.
Get paid.
And he gets... Early in the episode, he is directed to the client, who is played by Werner Herzog, and told about... That was Werner Herzog, right? That was a client?
Yes.
Okay, I was making sure. So that was... And he's told about a difficult mark, but one that will pay off financially. And then, of course, he sets out to go do that. Let's talk about the Mandalorian for a second. Now, this all takes place post... Empire, so it's got to be after 9, because the Empire's still around. They don't mention the First Order at all.
No.
So, it could be anytime after 6, really, right?
Yeah, probably so.
So, until we have a definitive marker in that universe, we didn't get a definitive like timestamp, did we, in that universe?
No, I don't believe so.
Not in this episode, at least. So, I mean, that could go a million different
places. That's one of the things I have a problem with Star Wars. Is their whole linear timeline crap?
Well, now they're doing things like outside of the main. I mean, yeah, no, I totally understand that. So the character of the Mandalorian, I like the mystery behind it.
Just talk about Baby Yoda for a minute.
I'm not okay with that.
Why?
Like, I screamed at my TV because couldn't they just leave it alone? Why'd they have to do that? Why? Just leave it the fuck alone.
Wow.
I know. That's how.
Now we have to put another graphic language thing.
So from, it's marked as explicit. So it's marked as explicit on all of the, I made sure because, you know, the occasional curse word does slip out. But so let's just talk about that for a second.
Right now.
So
he's waving his hands around as he's talking.
The very difficult mark that the Mandalorian is hired to kill is, sorry for the spoiler, but everyone's seen it.
Dude, we're three episodes out now. Listen, if you don't know, there's Baby Yoda from every
meme. It's a 50-year-old Yoda.
Every meme on the internet that involves little Baby Yoda right now.
I was screaming. I was like, why did you have to do that? They could have tied it to the other, to 9 in a way, because 9's poised to come out. They could have done that. They could have done a million other things. They could have done Mark Hamill. They could have done
anything. Yoda would have to be a species of something.
But that's just it. Yoda was like a make of the Force. But now we know there's other ways that they are created.
Like the way everything is created? Like through babies?
I'm okay, but if they don't... I just never approach how Baby Yoda is.
I love in the world where
he's
not a
baby, he's 50. You remember that?
I love when in the world where there are sentient droids that you're mad that somehow we have another Yoda.
But why do we need another Yoda? We don't! That's why Yoda was so great. He was such a mystery in every aspect of him.
Maybe you do need Yoda. Maybe you need Jesus. Think about it.
Give me Qui-Gon Jinn over Jesus. Thank you. That's probably one of those comments like, who said the... Which Beatle said that stupid thing that still haunts
bigger
them
than Jesus?
Yeah, okay. I kind of retry. I don't. But
actually, cut that up. I want it to lead the next 40 episodes.
I would love to see Qui-Gon come back. I mean, that's just my thing, because he was the only good thing about that stupid first movie. Good Lord. So Baby Yoda, I think, is a bizarre choice. And let's talk about, there's stormtroopers in this, which doesn't make any sense. The Empire's
gone. They're not really stormtroopers, is not how I took it. They're hired guns. They're like...
Now they're just out, bodyguards, like mercenaries.
Yeah, you wouldn't give up your armor if you had it, right?
Of course, especially good armor. Right? They would have the best armor.
Sure.
Except it never seems to do anything for them in the movies.
No, I mean, you can still get shot directly in the chest and fall over and die, apparently. Yeah.
Are they gonna? So in the stormtrooper, are we ever gonna see one without a helmet on? Because then they're all gonna look the same. They're all gonna look like Jango Fett.
Only they look like Finn.
Oh, dude, is that what the new generation looks like? Finn.
I don't know. Finn.
We don't know. There's so much about this universe we don't know yet.
That's right.
I'm upset with the whole Yoda thing. I'm sorry. I just that makes me mad. But personally, it's one of those choices. I'm like, why would you revisit that? But because I mean, I guess there is no Star Wars without Yoda, or vice versa. So I mean, that's a synonymous choice. Fine.
Sure.
So, let's talk about the bounty. But not a lot happens in this pilot episode. For being a pilot episode, not a lot happens.
Well, but it sets a lot of story going forward.
Well, it builds the world, yes. Or starts to build the world. Again, we're post-Empire, which I think is cool. No definitive timestamp yet, except there are stormtroopers that are... Are the Stormtroopers working with the First... Yeah, they are with the First Order. So this has to be after 9, then.
No, we don't... You don't have any idea what time frame it is.
Well, but they're not working with the Empire. They're not working with the First Order.
So?
Anyway, so we have a bounty hunter who we follow.
Why are you so focused on the Star Wars timeline?
Because it's important to establish that.
Baby Yoda will show you the way, sir.
God. Anyway, so moving on. So
are you excited for the second episode? Yes or no?
I'm excited to see if they go the right way. Yeah.
Okay.
I really hope
I'm sorry, Baby Yoda hurts you.
I really hope they don't cater to those people who really think Jediism is a real thing. That'd be a bad way to go. Let the story take you. Let the characters take you through natural progression.
Let the rhythm take control. Let the rhythm move you.
Yeah.
Baby.
What song is that?
CNC music. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Okay, so I guess my objections are irrational. But what about the rest of the film? What about the rest of the episode?
Well, I mean, I was okay with it. It's just bounty hunting.
I was okay with the ship, although the ship kind of reminded me of the Serenity ship, Firefly from Firefly. But I think the Mandalorian fits. It fits well into the Star Wars universe. Oh, Nick Nolte was
the voice.
Nick Nolte was the voice of that one of the guy who like helps him out.
The guy rides the weird horse dinosaur thing.
Quill, K-U-I-I-L.
Okay.
Keeping with the weird Star Wars names. So I like Nick Nolte's character because you know what casting Nick Nolte does is it gives that character gravitas. It gives that character the Mandalorian has to listen to that character because Nick Nolte. I think he has that voice.
We just saw Nick Nolte recently in Angel Has Fallen.
And I just rewatched Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder is great. That is a great
I love it movie. When his things come off his hooks and everyone who sees him again like, you have hands.
Was it Four-Leaf Tayback? That's his name.
Four-Leaf.
You know what? Yeah. I might go home and watch Tropic
That's
Thunder.
That's a funny tonight. Movie, dude. You're gonna be happy you did. And anyway, so I like Nick Nolte.
I don't know the name.
And Carl Weathers.
I just know the sound it makes when it kicks a man's life.
I'm the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude. What do you mean, you people?
He just stares at him.
Let's talk about Tropic Thunder soon.
We should.
That's a good.
We should watch it.
We should watch it and talk about it. All right, yeah. So. Anyway, so I think the positives are it fits right into the Star Wars universe as if it was always there.
It does.
You know, because everyone loves the bounty hunters. I think we're off to a promising start. But for me, that's all it is a promising start.
Well, that's all it had to be, though.
Well, fair. I mean, again, me being the eternal optimist.
You don't win the 500-mile race in the first lap.
No, you don't.
You could lose it. No, Art of Racing in the Rain taught us that.
In 185
minutes. No race has ever been won in the first turn, but many have been lost.
That's what they say.
Guess what, buddy? That helmet's coming back today.
Coming back. Mike Banning is back.
You know what? Much like when I punched in Nick Jonas last week, maybe it's time for Mike Banning.
Every episode.
Mike Banning is back.
Okay, so Mandalorian off to a good start. That's all we can ask for.
That's all we need. All
right. Charlie's Angels. Keep it to a few minutes.
Let me just say Charlie's Angels. Oof.
Oof indeed.
Oof. First off, let's talk about the money you haven't made.
Well, yeah, let's talk
Zeros
about that.
Zeros of dollars that Charlie's Angels has made.
You know what makes me laugh? I'll tell you a minute. November 15th, it came out last week, directed by Elizabeth Banks. She had a big... Elizabeth Banks, this is her baby, man.
She's the only reason this baby is made,
100%,
right?
Only one. And Patrick Stewart saying yes. May have helped it along. Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Balinska. They do all right as the Angels.
They're fine.
They're one of the few parts
they are not the problem.
Yeah, not at all. And then Jimon Hansu is Edgar Bosley, Sam Claflin, whom I love, Alexander Brock, Patrick Stewart, John Bosley, and then Elizabeth Banks is Bosley. So, Jonathan Tucker Hodak, which is hilarious, by the way. Yikes indeed. This movie, I don't understand. Like, the studio has to look at this movie and be like, before it came out, like, this is going to make no money at all.
Yeah. Can we talk about Princess Jasmine for a minute?
She's probably the best part of the movie.
Maybe. But so, if we talked about this at length when we talked about Aladdin. So the best part of Aladdin is probably Naomi Scott, right?
Mm-hmm.
Princess Jasmine herself. She's great. Okay, she's better than this movie. But here's the thing. If you didn't know, Naomi Scott is actually British. Okay? In this movie, she plays an American who is in, where are they at? Holland?
They're all over.
Right?
They're all over.
But so the main crux of the movie takes place in, like, the Netherlands, right? Mm. Why couldn't she have been British, too? Is it because we already had one British lady, one British angel?
Well, like you said before, they let one of them be British. Why don't they both let them be both British?
Like, that boggles my mind. It's not that she has a bad American accent or anything. It's totally fine. But those are, like, little things I'm looking like, who made this decision?
Well, I mean,
why does Kristen Stewart talk so much? You sent me that message, and I hadn't seen it yet. This may be the most I've ever heard her speak in a film role. Like, she probably
I tweeted that out, yeah.
Yeah, she probably has more lines in this movie than five Twilight movies.
I'm not kidding.
Dude, she does, and she's actually okay in this movie. I didn't hate her this time.
No.
None of the angels are bad.
No, they're actually, I think, part of the saving grace. Well, the fight choreography at times is terrible.
Yeah, the fight choreography is bad.
Except the last fight, I thought was really good.
No, it's bad too.
You don't. It's all bad. Between Jane, Ella Blinska, and the assassin, I thought that was well. That was the only fight I thought was well choreographed.
No,
I don't think so. Fair enough.
I do like the thing at the end. Okay, so I'll ask you a serious question, and we'll dive into the movie for like two more minutes.
That's all it deserves.
So, can we talk about the last 5 minutes of this movie?
Was the best.
By far. Am I right? Like, I honestly thought that. Yeah. I watched the last 5 minutes of the movie going, why couldn't more of the movie been this?
Because that was clever.
It was funny.
How it plays it out, worked though, out. Is clever.
Yeah.
And you do get hints along the way that some of the characters that they interact with are not just people.
Not random.
They're there for... But the last 5 minutes of this movie is the best 5 minutes.
Sure.
Without, like,
it's 100%. It's not even close.
Yeah, there's not even a close
not
thing.
Not even close. All right, what else you want to talk about?
Well, I'll talk about Elizabeth Banks, Patrick Stewart.
Nope.
Why?
It was bad.
But
they're bad.
Did it's you like bad. Them?
No.
You didn't like Patrick Stewart?
No, why? Because he got a payday to come back to play Bosley again?
But this is one of those ones that they approached him and he did this. How much?
Listen, I love Patrick Stewart.
Look, 3 days and $3 million, and that's how you get me.
I love Patrick Stewart in everything. He's great.
Except
he's above this movie.
He's so far above it.
So far above. He acted like he's above this movie.
He really did, actually. Now that I think about it, his performance was like pompous and like prancing around. But like, okay, so here's also the thing.
You paid me a lot of money.
We didn't need this. Nobody asked for this. We didn't need it. I don't understand why I don't understand why Elizabeth Banks said I could remake that and make it great.
This is going to be one of the questions I ask. Why now? Why the week before Thanksgiving? 2 weeks before Thanksgiving do we get this?
Because they knew... My theory behind the thinking of this, and I've thought about it, is released any other time and makes no money, but at least this weekend, while it's still in theaters, people might, when they have friends around, nothing to do, might go see it.
Nah, they should have dropped it in mid, like, you know what? Valentine's Day.
That would have made $0. No way that would have made any
What's
money.
What's it got to go against now?
Nothing. We don't know yet, but...
Exactly. But if you knew Charlie's Angels was coming Valentine's Day for like a girl power weekend, dude, they clean up. I bet you they do more than $8 million.
Well, that's okay. Fair point there. But I mean, did you want to go up against the Blumhouse movie, which has established itself as people love the Blumhouse movies?
Yeah, but the Blumhouse movie is going to be rated R.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, but you're right about the girl power thing, especially these days.
Exactly.
When everything's about girl power,
it matters.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially in marketing. For the love of God, don't be stupid.
That's true. I mean, it's. But I'll bet you this movie didn't cost anything to make.
I
want to
talk about something that might make you sad for 2 seconds. We're done with Charlie's Angels, right? Oh, wait,
let's rate it.
Okay.
I want to rate mine first, because I feel like I know what you're going to do. I'm giving this movie a 3.5.
Wow. I'm giving it a 3.
Nice.
Yeah!
And 3.5 is because I'm giving the extra half point because the last 5 minutes was okay. It was serviceable.
That's probably fair. It was the best part of the movie.
Yeah,
it's by not far. Even a joke.
Yeah, and they definitely sequel bait it, which it will not get. You don't get a sequel off a movie that makes $8 million.
I bet you they're contracted for 2. I bet you every one of them are.
Might even be for 3. I don't know. But
it's got to be at least 2.
But again, I bet you any money that... Because they drive the cars around for a while, and you see the logo over and over and over, and the clothes they wear, the shoes. I bet that was all. I bet 50% of the movie at least was paid for by these vendors with clothes and... Especially by girls who, like, you talk about marketing girl power. Mm-hmm. People will go out and buy that stuff.
Yeah,
I promise you.
They're not stupid.
Yeah, so. It could have cost them, after all said and done, the studio.
Did you get a budget for it?
What's no, that? I didn't see the budget. But you want to look that up? Okay, fact-checker?
No, you can fact-check it while I tell you a story.
All right, tell me a story.
Be sad. So, did you see that Disney updated their calendar for 20.
I did.
20. Did you see what got moved off of Valentine's Day?
No, what was it?
Kingsman.
What's that? Where's this?
7 months.
Oh no! I heard that was delayed like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. Because I heard it was delayed. It's all the way back to September now.
Well, I mean, it could have needed time. Which look, I like
September, Kingsman. September, so... You're burying it. That's bad. All bad.
Is it though?
September.
Is it as bad as you're making it out to be?
Maybe the best September movie ever. You can't, because they're all bad.
No, I'm sure there have been some good ones.
What? Like Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween?
They came out. No, there's been some good September movies. Now, okay, next week I'm going to have a list for you, movies that were okay in September.
That's fine.
I promise I'll have that list for you. But let me see if there's a budget for...
I bet you it's only like $35
million. I bet you it's not even a third of that.
There's more than $10 million.
I don't think so, dude.
Had to be.
Where do you find the budget on this new box office?
I don't know. Listen.
Anyway, look,
let's talk about box office mojo for a minute.
It's terrible.
Fix your page, bro.
Fix the box office page. Don't fix it. So anyway, let's just move on. Okay, so it's Charlie's Angels. Look, we're all about reasons to find watching
movies. Combined score of 6.5.
out of 20. So if you want a reason to watch... If you want a reason to watch Charlie's Angels, the girls are okay. Kristen Stewart, Princess Jasmine, and Belinsky are okay. You know how I called all of them different, not their characters. Yeah. They're
okay. $75 million budget for this movie.
Are you serious?
Yes, 100%.
Oh my! No, that's the other one. That's one from two.
That movie cost $75 million in 2000.
Those are even worse, though,
dude. That'd be like $300 million now.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, with inflation being what it is, yeah, that's not cheap. That is not cheap. Well, look, it's a sneaker.
$30 million. Suck it.
Oh, fair. Okay. So $30 million, but I bet you they got 15 of it paid for.
Yeah, probably.
With the and
I like whatever. The nice little well placed Lamborghini, by the way.
Dude, that's a good car.
You know from experience, do you?
No, I don't.
Then be quiet.
Fair enough. Look, fair. I get that. Okay. Sorry for the like lump of time here. My Safari just shut down. Safari, it's hilarious.
Good.
So, you did not watch The Good Liar?
I did not.
I will do a few minutes on that. I actually really enjoyed The Good Liar. And it's not... The trailer you saw does not accurately depict the movie that's going to happen. This involves a very intricate plot going back to Nazi Germany, some players that moved around. It's actually quite interesting, and I kind of enjoyed the last hour and a half of this movie, because of course Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen are excellent. They are excellent. Sure. Everything that they do. But the particulars are Bill Condon directed. He also made Beauty and the Beast. Some things in between. Obviously came out last week, the 15th of November. We have Helen Mirren, of course, Ian McKellen, Russell Tovey is Stephen, Jim Carter is Vincent. Some other not so well known people, but because that was where the focus went, was Helen Mirren, of course, Ian McKellen. I almost said Helen McKellen and Ian Mirren.
Helen McKellen
and Ian Mirren. So, this is a little more different than your average spying, deceiving movie of people lying to each other. This could have easily been a romantic comedy, too. I realized I was going through it, except for the Nazi Germany subplot. that makes it not a...
Really?
Really, yes. They're both... Roy Courtney is... he's Ian McKellen, and he, of course, from the very beginning, if you've seen the trailer, has set out to deceive and take all the money from Helen Mirren's character of Bessie McLeish. And he's actually quite charming. They meet on a dating website. They meet up and have dinner, which he is very charming. She's kind of taken in by it. Her grandson has huge reservations about, you just met him, you can't move in with him. And of course, he is pushing for the move in together. Let's combine her. He has a partner in which they do. They scam people out of their money by. It's a very complicated scam they run, and he's running the scam, but. As you will figure out in the first 45 seconds of the movie, there are two scams being run by each other, and that's the fun part. But it's to say much more, I think, would ruin it. Jim Carter as Vincent, as the partner for Ian McKellen, though, is also excellent in this movie. He plays second fiddle, of course, to Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen, which is absolutely, that's what people would assume would happen, and it does.
Okay.
But he is kind of foreshadowed, or he's kind of hushed when he shouldn't be. He's really great. He was actually just in what's the movie about the 1920s, the family, that you didn't watch that I did. I can't think of it. About the it was on TV for years. It just had a movie. It was like I said, it was a long episode. I can't think of the name.
I don't remember.
Anyway, so I'll think of the name in a minute. But Russell Tovey, Stephen, is also quite excellent. He is a historian that is plays an excellent... Oh, Downton Abbey.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Might have been a poor description.
He's just waving his fingers at me trying to get me to speak, and I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
But dude. Okay, so here's... We are a podcast mainly... We're trying to find reasons to watch. If you're still looking for a reason to watch, after Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen's name, I can't help you. You're listening to the wrong podcast. You know, I mean, if that doesn't strike you to
Helen
watch...
Helen Mirren, star of the Fast franchise? Helen Mirren?
Star of two of the movies she's in.
The entire franchise.
Oh, and she's in the one we just saw. It's Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
That's his mother. Yeah, that's... And she... Her 7 seconds on screen are better than anyone else's screen... The whole screen time.
Yeah, probably.
Let's be honest about that. I really enjoyed The Good Liar. I was kind of on the edge of my seat the whole time. The Bill Condon does an excellent job of building tension in certain plots. In certain moments, so you know something's coming. You know that the hierarchy of knowledge. One of the characters knows something the other one doesn't. It's very nail biting, and he builds it in a slow way. It's slow. It's methodical. I really enjoyed it. If you like these kind of movies, you'll love it. I don't see why you wouldn't. If I'm gonna rate this movie, I'm gonna give it a straight 6.5.
Okay.
It is kind of lengthy, and unlike Ford v Ferrari, at times you kind of feel the length because it really hits slow spots when they're in their lovey time. That kind of gets slow because you know there's a lot of it. But check it out. It's a great star power, and I don't see why you wouldn't. If you love movies, there's no reason why you shouldn't watch this. As again, Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen are easily worth the ticket price for that one. So I think 6.5.
Okay.
Maybe a 7 on a better day, but 6.5 I think is pretty good. All right, that puts us onto Ford v Ferrari. You want to give me what you thought right off the cusp. As soon as it ended, you got up out of your seat.
Omega level movie.
Yeah, this is pretty excellent.
This is. What's the best movie we watched recently? I don't mean that seriously.
We really did like something recently. We did give something 9s and 10s recently. What was that? Last week?
No.
Wasn't last week? Before?
What have we watched lately? I watched too many movies.
Yeah, we watched way too many, but...
Okay, so whatever movie we're talking about, this movie's better than that. So...
This movie has got to be one of the best of the year.
Yeah, and I'm legitimately trying to decide who's going to get the Oscar nods from this movie.
It's a tough call. I mean, look, even the woman who plays Ken Miller's... What's his name? Ken Miles' wife is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, scary good. Ford v Ferrari came out last week, 15 of November 2019, directed by James Mangold, who's actually who's making quite a name for himself recently. I'm beginning to see his style, especially with Ford v Ferrari. I can see his style. But he also did Logan, which we loved universally. Amazing. Walk the Line. Great. Yeah, he's got a good filmography so far. The Greatest Showman he was a producer on. But Mangold, he can make a movie.
So Ford v Ferrari is like 245 in length, near 3 hours.
Before trailers too,
and you wouldn't know because this movie flows so well.
That's one of the best parts of the movie, and that's saying something because yes. There's so many. But like the pacing is excellent.
It's great.
But I have to attribute that to. I really have to. I think it has to go to all the great performances. Like everyone, yes. Even the guy I fucking hated.
Wow.
Josh Lucas is being two F words, but like hushed F words, which is rare for me. But anyway, so Matt Damon plays Carol Shelby, Christian Bale, who boy, I would have had a hard time. Which one do you build first? Jeez Louise.
Well, I think you build Matt Damon first because he's in the movie more. He's got more screen time.
Well, he's also the character that the movie's more centered around Shelby, I think, than.
Yeah, maybe.
That's
probably fair.
So, Matt Damon plays Carol Shelby, Christian Bale, Ken Miles, John Bernthal, Lee Iacocca, excellent also.
Yes.
Catriona Balfe plays Molly Miles, excellent.
This is great.
And then Josh Lucas, Leo Beebe, whom, if you can watch this movie, you don't hate him.
He's there's terrible. Something wrong.
You're a psycho. He is awful. My goodness, he's awful. Noah Jupe is Peter Miles. Man, it's just Ray McKinnon, Phil Remington, Tracy Letts is Henry Ford II. Holy moly, excellent.
I liked him in this movie too.
Especially when they drove around.
Dude, when he puts him in the car and they go driving through and he's sitting in the car after it looks like he's going to have a heart attack and he's so happy, he's just crying, like weeping. About he's like, I wish my dad was alive to feel this, and he's so
which he definitely just peed
happy.
He definitely just soiled himself.
Oh yeah, 100%. Well, that's what he's. That's
what they say. Like, this is around time.
It's about the point where someone's going to soil themselves if they haven't already.
It's pretty excellent, actually. It's really just one of those movies that comes along like.
So let's talk about the story for a minute.
Once a year,
the story is about the Ford GT racing program. Is the easiest way to look at it. How Carroll Shelby ended up working with Ford after Ford failed an attempt to buy Ferrari, the Italian company Ferrari, which
was bankrupt at the time.
Which had just gone bankrupt. They basically got used in a plot for Fiat to end up buying Ferrari, and Ford took it as a personal slap in the face.
Which is kind of Fiat at the point in this movie has won four out of the last five Le Mans races.
Ferrari had.
Yeah, Ferrari, that's what I said.
You said Fiat.
Oh, sorry. Ferrari had won four out of the last five Le Mans races, and that's a big deal.
It is.
You know, you win the races, of course, you get a spike in sales, you get, of course, the recognition. And
you get to be the legendary racing team.
So, but I mean, Ferrari, that's what they're known for, is speed. But Carroll Shelby was not going to take that lightly.
Well, so Ford decides, after a hilarious exchange between John Barenthal's Lee Iacocca and Henry Ford II, who they lovingly refer to as the Deuce, sometimes. I appreciated that. He asked him what Ferrari said to him, and Ferrari's like, go back to your ugly little factory and make your ugly little cars for your fat boss. So no one will tell Henry Ford II what he actually said. And Lee Iacocca was like, he called your factory ugly. He called your cars ugly. And Ford looks at him and goes, what else did he say? He goes, he called you fat, sir. And he doesn't even break character, nothing. Just looks him right in the face.
He called you fat, sir.
He's, so that's when they decide that they're going to go at Ferrari. And what you would, if you don't know the history behind it, you would think that from all the trailers, they say that they're going to, you know, develop a racing team in 90 days to beat Ferrari at Le Mans. Well, they don't do that. Spoiler alert. Which is actually a good turning point in the movie, I think, because it gives the movie more longevity. If you know the story, that they actually don't, you know, create what they had. It was actually probably a catastrophic failure, right? To the point where Carroll Shelby's in the office with Henry Ford II, and he's like, tell me why I shouldn't
fire you all
right now.
Look, that is Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. That, because it's funny because he says, why shouldn't I fire you right now? And then Matt Damon has the cameras on him for like the next 3 minutes. And it's just, that's why Matt Damon is Matt Damon. Mm-hmm. That is the reason. I mean, it's just, oh my goodness. This movie is full of great performances, but that's a great moment there you just mentioned.
Yes.
And Carroll Shelby is, of course, the Shelby Mustang.
Shelby GT.
Yeah, yep. Shelby GT. Okay, I don't know much about cars.
He's the Shelby guy.
I mean, I assume he had to be, but...
That's where it came from.
They do... And Bale's character, Ken Miles, is such a cerebral... He's the best racer. Like, he's got to be one of the best racers in the world.
Sure.
Like, he knows cars and he knows races, tracks.
He's a dick. And that's the nicest way to say it. He really is a dick.
And that's that character's problem.
It's to the point. Now, listen, if anybody in this room could appreciate being a dick, it's me.
It's true.
And he takes it a little far.
and it
hurts him.
But never disrespectfully, though. He's just a straight, an idiot.
Sometimes it's disrespectfully.
I guess, but I mean, I took him more as that's how he was.
Well, no, I'm sure it's accurate, but yeah. I mean, it hinders his racing career because of it.
Yeah, and I never took it as malicious, though.
Well, you got to think about it, where he's at in his life, and he's still racing, like, late model tracks at the...
That's true, and then he never got
called
point.
To the big time. That's right.
That's a point with him and his wife about, because his garage gets shut down
by the IRS for not paying taxes.
Because he keeps chewing out his customers by insulting them for not knowing how to drive
cars.
When
he lights up the one guy about not how to drive his car, hilarious.
But that's like a Jaguar or something. That's like a
MG.
An MG, okay. Yeah. That's like a James Bond car almost, mm-hmm. isn't it? Okay.
It's a British.
And of course, the guy pulled out car. Can't drive it anyway.
Yeah, about wrecks and stalls the car out. And
the way this. So a lot of this movie takes place when they're racing, and of course the races are like 24 hours. So mm-hmm. we spend significant amounts of time on these 24-hour races, and especially when him and his son when they're out on the tarmac, they're talking about he's telling his son.
Dude, those are great moments.
Like makes your hand shake moments, like mm-hmm. just wonderful moments. And that little boy is really great, really great too. Noah Jupe is excellent. Mm-hmm. Peter Miles, and they talk about. He tells his son about the perfect lap and how hard it is to get. And I got really excited. I knew that was coming. And in the end, it's planned payoff. It works very well, too. And that's one of the best. I was almost crying because it was just so perfect. I was in such a happy place at that moment mm-hmm. when they finally referenced the perfect lap. And it's just everything is good. They chose the good score for that section. It's just, you know, the right shots. Is just it's such a satisfying moment.
Yeah. Much like this entire movie. Like, every payoff is there. Every one of them. And it's... I don't have a single thing to say that I didn't like about this movie. From the casting, to the way the races are shot, to the historical footage that's in there, to the recreated historical shots. Like, when they're coming down for the Le Mans for the finish, with a three wide or whatever, about how that was a newspaper cover, or a magazine cover. And how all that blows up in their face, hilariously, sort of, depressingly, I guess. But if you don't know this story in any capacity, it doesn't matter. If you're not a car person, it doesn't matter.
Is that good of a movie that it transcends the material, I think?
If you are a car person, dude, some of the stuff you see in this movie is beautiful. Like the designing of the Ford GT40, which... is one of the iconic American sports cars.
Which is why I'm surprised. You get to see some
of the most beautiful Ferraris ever made. Which is why I'm surprised
it's not doing better financially. You'd think car people would hear about this. And
dude, listen, it's Oscar bait. When was the last time an Oscar movie really blew up financially?
I mean, Oscar-nominated movies do, but the winners don't usually.
Listen, when this gets re-released, come award season, it's going to clean up.
It deserves it, man. It really deserves it. It's such a good movie. It's the movie I wish Terminator would be.
Dude, listen, if Terminator had been half as good, you'd have creamed
it. It wasn't even a fifth of this. Like that's the thing that kills me. But okay, back to the... So Christian Bale...
Amazing. Dude, listen, so serious question. Is Christian Bale bad in anything?
I was just thinking about it. And there was a time when I didn't appreciate Christian Bale. Back at the
Is it because he yelled at you?
At Mark. He didn't yell at me. No, he did yell at me, actually. That's why he bought me a birthday cake on the next show I worked mm-hmm. for them. Yeah. He did yell at me. And yeah, that was pretty humiliating because like 300 people were staring at me like, why is that kid looking at Christian? Because
you can't do that, apparently.
No, you can't. You have to turn away. Anyway, so that's just one of those... But like, he's excellent. And I just... He's on a... I tweeted after I saw the show, he is just on a different level. Like, he's just... Him and Matt Damon both are just... They play different kinds of characters and mm-hmm. how they present themselves on screen, but Matt Damon's no less good. He's just different.
It's different, yeah.
But, I mean, Ken Miles is just... It's scary how good he... I mean, he just takes the profession of acting to just new heights that I'm sure, you know... In the grand scheme of things, if everyone's ever acted, you know, all the greats we've ever had, like a handful have reached that level.
Sure.
I mean, it's just... So good.
He's amazing.
And this is like this Much might be
like this movie.
This might be Bale's opus. Like so far, this might be his best.
No.
It's got to be one of the top three.
No.
What else has Bale done? The performance Dick Cheney movie. I forgot. Yeah. For how mediocre the movie was, he was stellar.
Yeah.
Oh, Christian Bale.
That's his. I mean, doesn't he have two Oscars now?
I know he has tons of nominations. Did he get one for American Hustle? Did he not a nomination for American
Hustle? I don't remember. Let me look.
But what did you have any problems with this movie?
I didn't really. Mainly criticisms, not problems. I guess I would have chose to do things differently. The ending really breaks your heart. And I'm not going to go into why.
You shouldn't.
But the ending breaks your heart. And for a reason that until you watch the movie, you can't really fully understand.
Well, because it's real. You know what I mean?
It is real. I mean, I guess if you know history, then you kind of see it coming.
Okay, he's got 4 Oscar noms with 1 win.
What was the win?
I'm looking here. Hang on.
I bet you something we're going to kick ourselves over. Is it Vice? No, it could have been Vice.
No, Best Supporting Actor for The Fighter.
Oh, that was well-deserved, yeah. Too, though.
Yeah, he got Vice was Best Actor. Nominated. He was nominated in The Big Short and American Hustle.
Oh, I forgot about The Big Short. Yeah.
He's so
good. Dude, he's on a different level, man. I worked with him twice. I love that. I actually drove him around in Pittsburgh. He did
win the Golden Globe for Vice.
Mm. Well, which is something.
Yeah.
Certainly something. And I did drive him around in Pittsburgh, so that's pretty cool.
No wonder he hates you.
Shut up. That was after he hated me and on Batman in Los Angeles. Well, that's when he yelled at me. I don't say hate him. That's when he yelled at me. He goes, turn around. And that's a longer story, but getting back to some of these other... So let's talk about Molly Miles, Catriona Ball for a second. Just excellent. Great. Like the little... I would bet you $1 million that... The original script they started with, her role was not nearly as big as far as the amount of screen time she had, the amount of lines she had. But when they saw her, they had to have given her more.
Give her more time.
Because she's very good. No. But the scene when she's driving like a maniac on the road because of the call he just got, like, she just stole the show. And she stole it from Christian Bale for that one scene.
She owns that scene.
It's not something that many people can do, is steal it from Christian Bale. So, I mean, but even like John Bernthal is excellent. Josh Lewis is excellent. Even the guy who plays Henry Ford II is excellent. And Remo Giron, who plays Enzo Ferrari, is also in his own way, his own quiet way, excellent.
Mm-hmm. There is not a bad choice made in this movie.
If this movie doesn't get nominated for Best Picture, I'm afraid and excited to see what is going to get nominated.
That's the thing. Pick a couple other movies. Can you right now?
It's just because we watched so many. But we did give something recently a huge... Or maybe Alex gave something a good score.
We gave the Joker a big number.
I didn't.
I didn't either.
Hmm.
But...
Anyway, so...
That's the last one that I thought was the big one for us. But whatever.
Fair enough. So...
Listen, I love this movie.
Yeah, this movie's beyond excellent.
Want me to rate it first?
You don't want to talk? There's anything else you want to talk about? The racing, the tracks.
It's all great.
How they do some of the racing, I thought was really clever too. I mean, I've always wondered why, and I wonder how accurate historically the whole replacing the brake system was.
It's got to be 100%. I bet.
Like, I would imagine it's got to be close. It's not that far in the past.
No.
So it's got to be somewhat accurate. I would imagine. Do you think they had some of those guys on set that were alive?
I'm sure.
Still, that they were. Sure. You imagine just. Now, I always tell this story because it's one of the few stories that I have. When I was on Fences, I got to see Denzel and who else? Who's the opposite of her?
Octavia.
No, that wasn't Octavia. That was. Well, whoever. I can't think of her name. Who's.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Look it over.
I got you.
All right. Denzel and I was gonna kick me when we talked about Viola Davis. I got to see them act some scenes together, and if you remember Fences, it was not one that had a lot of cuts. So when they rolled the camera, they just rolled it and let them go. And like seeing those two play off each other, it made the hair on my back stand up. It was so good. And to be on this set to see Christian Bale and Matt Damon doing their thing. Like, for instance, in the booth, they're having dinner, and when he tells them it takes, you know, 90 days, that's got to be worth it. And that's got to be an awesome thing to have in your memory, too. He's
sitting there eating.
That's Ken Mott. I mean, he's just such a driving savant, is what he is.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and rate it. We're running a little long, so let's go ahead and rate it.
10.
Ooh, I'm going to get a 9.5, but for a 9.5 for me is...
Shut your stupid mouth and give it a 10.
Okay, I'll compromise. I'll get a 9.75.
Wow.
It's just, it's incredible. I can't even... If you're sleeping on this movie, do not.
This is the best movie we've watched in a while.
It's got to be...
even close.
It's got to be set at least 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even... We gave Dragon a 10, and that was... I think this is probably better pound for dollar for dollar than Dragon was.
It might be. Because How to Train Your Dragon felt a little long.
This one didn't, though.
This is not. And this is a long movie.
Look, I'm getting these goosebumps right now. Just look at the picture.
Let's talk about long movies for a second. So, right. Irishman's coming.
That's out, isn't it?
Isn't it? Is it now? Right now?
Maybe I saw it on Netflix coming.
Okay.
Coming. Might be this week.
That movie's long, bro.
3.5. No trailers. That's going to be. I bet you're going to feel it, too.
Long.
I bet you're
going to... Well, it's different sitting on my couch. Well,
yeah, because...
Because now I'm going to fall asleep.
There's always that, you know, but... yeah, long movies are... You got to be careful.
Long movies are hard to watch at home. They are.
Well, not for me.
Well, because you don't... You end up... It's not, becomes a non-intelligent viewing.
Well, because you're on your phone and, of course, answering texts.
Well, and you're, you know, living life.
Yeah. Well, you with the family is one example of, like, you know, things happen and you might not see a scene as... You know, but I
get bored and start playing Pokemon in the middle of the Irish
movie. I mean, look, if that movie does it to you, that movie does it to you. I mean, you're not one that usually does that, but if it gets long in the tooth...
No, I try to make sure I give it proper due.
I can't say enough good about Ford v. Ferrari. Just watch it. Like, don't even... Just fork over the money, get a ticket right now, and just go
watch
it.
Go watch it.
Ooh, it's so good. 2 hours and 32 minutes before trailers, too.
Love it.
Boy, this movie better win. It better get nominated for some stuff.
Listen, it doesn't have to win, but listen, it needs its due to get some kind of recognition for what it is.
I can see it getting nominated for, like, of course, one of them, if not both, will get nominated for something. They have to.
Sure, but if you had, well, it would be Matt Damon one would have to be actor
and then supporting.
Miles for supporting.
But I can even see it for sound was phenomenal, too.
Sure.
I would love to see this in, like, a Dolby auditorium. I didn't, unfortunately. But
no, I saw it in the Big D, though, so that's as close
that's
as
pretty,
I'll
that's pretty close.
It's pretty
for,
good.
For local. Yeah, that's the sound is just incredible.
My one experience in a Dolby theater was at Disney when I watched
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody. It must have been still cool by itself.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, I'll bet that. Oof. Yeah, it changes your perspective on movies.
Listen.
I think it does.
It does. It does.
It really does, though, I think, so... All right. Well, that's okay. So we. I mean, it got a possible 19.5 out of 20.
Yeah.
That's an A plus.
Win. That's a win. I gave something a 10, by the way.
Yeah.
I want you people to understand.
That doesn't often. Roger's the negative one too.
That's right.
Jeez.
I love this movie. I loved it.
This is gonna be. Are you gonna purchase this, or are you gonna acquire it through other means?
What does purchase mean?
Fork over money for a product in your hand, or digitally, however you want to do it.
No.
Hmm. All right, Roger. All right. What does the movie have to do to get you to purchase it?
Be free. I already paid to watch this movie once.
Don't. No. We're not doing that
through
argument.
Copyright rules.
No. We're not doing that argument. There are people that argue out there that every time a movie is re-released, if you bought the DVD years ago, you're entitled to get the new copy. That the argument's out there. Same with video games, same with movies. There are people who really think that.
Well, technically, the video game thing would be if you had an old Nintendo system and you like to play the ROM game. Technically, you're allowed to do that if you purchased it. Those are the legal gray areas.
Right, but there are people argue through the face that if they bought the DVD or Blu-ray, they're entitled to get the 4K release when it comes out.
Just assume if I were to... download this film in any capacity.
If you were, no, we're not saying you would.
Hypothetically, of course.
Yeah, of course.
That I would get like the Blu-ray master, you know, Dolby edition, and I would make sure my subwoofer vibrated the shit out of my house.
Try to make your house a Dolby house for,
well,
for 2 hours.
There's enough horsepower in my house to do that.
Oh, good. So the extended discussion for 2 or 3 minutes, two of them. Ford v. Ferrari, I put, is it amazing or is it just great? I think it's amazing.
It's amazing. All right,
okay.
Next,
okay. The Mandalorian, Disney Plus, does The Mandalorian, as we once talked about, does it make Disney Plus by itself a force to be reckoned with? Or does Mandalorian have to be packaged with all the other content
I mean, we'll find out. You can't judge Mandalorian...
No, you can't, but we can judge the first episode.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's, what is it, 10, 12, 15? How many episodes is it? Do we even know?
I assume somewhere they've said it.
Probably 12 or 13.
I bet you it's anywhere from 10 to 13.
Well, so we'll talk about that in, you know, 3 months when we get to the end.
That's true.
Think about that.
We may take a week or two off around Christmas to talk about all those awful Christmas Netflix movies that just came out.
Well, we're going to have... No, we're not going to do that at all.
I want to do that.
No, we sure don't.
Because there's like seven of
them. That's exactly why we're not going to be doing that.
And Disney Plus has 2 or 3. One with... Twilight Girl, the friend, the one that blew
Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah,
the Noelle or something.
Yeah, I did see that on there. Well, it's got like Bill Hader in it too,
it's
right?
It's got a good cast. Yeah, so we should talk about that.
I'm shocked that Disney Plus recruited a good cast for something. Oh, let me ask you a question about Apple TV Plus.
Sure.
Okay, so I have Apple TV Plus free for a year because I just recently bought a new iPad. Did you know the Newsday, whatever, the show about the news? The
Steve Carell.
Yeah. Do you know how much that show cost to make?
Hold on. Is it low or high?
It's astronomically high.
Okay, so altogether?
How much did Cats cost?
$300 US. Are you serious?
Yeah.
$300 for how many episodes?
I don't know. Like, I'm assuming it's for both seasons. It's contracted for two.
You see, that's something else that I want to approach. Now that we're in the world of streaming, we're not doing network TV anymore. Maybe we can get this on another episode, or we can get more into Mandalorian, though, is...
The Morning Show is what it's called.
Yeah, The Morning Show. Steve Carell and Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. I forget my question. A question popped in my head, and I just completely forgot it.
About how much stuff costs to make?
Yeah, I guess it's just... I had a good question. I guess it's gone now.
Sure, but, you did.
But it's the deliveries that they want to. They don't have to pay for commercial, or they don't have to like pay for time on these channels anymore. It's their own thing. So of course the cost isn't nearly as much anymore. But
two seasons, $15 million an episode.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. If it's two seasons, so let's say Netflix makes something.
It's $300 million for two seasons.
Let's say they made Orange Is the New Black, and it was, let's just say, because we don't know, the original arc was three seasons.
Okay.
And then they extend because it was horrendously popular.
Sure.
It's still going. Or did it end?
I have no idea.
Regardless, it's like six or seven seasons by now. But that's the beauty of doing this is like they can... So if the Morning Show... Well, $300 million for... If there's two seasons, 24 episodes, that's not as daunting as...
$15 million episode. It means there's only 10.
Okay, so that's 20 episodes. $15 million, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Holy mother.
$15 million an hour. That's what it costs.
Jeez. Well, I mean, you also don't know where the production... where until you see it, it's hard to know where the money went.
Well, but, okay, but I mean, this has... Now, mind you, it's, you know, 15 hours, a 15-hour movie at $150 million, so it actually balances it out.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that would make sense.
You know, a 10-hour movie at that. But still, when you see things packaged at $300 million for two seasons or something...
But it's going to be...
Good. It doesn't get advertising budget back, though. You're not selling ad space in the middle of the biggest episode.
No, but they are selling. I mean, they want you to subscribe. That's where the money is these days.
Yeah, I have it for free.
And by the time... For 12 months.
Yeah.
Let's not get too crazy over there, cowboy. Well,
let's talk about that then.
All right.
Okay, if it comes out, it just came out November 1st. Okay?
Correct.
If season 2 comes out November 1st of next year, which is likely, 1 year apart...
I will pay
$0
to watch. But they're going to have so much other things too.
Well, but you understand my point, though. Yeah, because of where my time frame falls.
I also want to talk about, maybe this is long in the tooth of this episode, but the Michael Katz thing for, not the Katz, but like, I forget his name, but he's with, I want to say a larger company, but the whole thing now they're putting money into, I saw the first one of its kind ever was being shot in Canada. They're shooting it in tiny segments for you to watch on your phone like this through Facebook. They're not shooting like this. Like, it's meant to be watched...
Vertically?
Vertically.
Monsters.
In like, 5-minute segments, but, like, chopped up.
I hate that.
I don't...
Whatever it is, I hate it.
I agree with you, man, but he sunk, like, $1 billion into this. He sunk so much money into this.
Listen, if you want to waste $1 billion, give it to me.
I don't know if it was $1 billion, but
I don't care.
It was a horrendously high number, like, just give $600 million or something like that, yeah.
Listen, random rich people, fund me.
Did you use a tax write-off?
That's right.
But I mean, like, so...
I can be adopted still.
So, just recently, Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, and I'm sure whatever that thing for Facebook will have a cost as well, but you also have Amazon. We also have Netflix. Probably 50% of people have Hulu, Spotify.
The video game system of your choice for a year?
I mean, that's... Nothing is cheap anymore.
Well, so...
And all the studio streaming services are... I mean, Warner Brothers is going to have their own, Sony's going to have their own, Paramount's going to have their own.
NBC's going
to
have their own.
This is like going to come out to be like, to have all this stuff.
And it's about time you start buying cable TV again, people. Listen, if you're a cord cutter and you have four things a month that cost you more than $45 plus your internet bill, you're not winning.
But to get all the content, you're going to have to fork out like $150 for like piecemeal things.
That's right. Every person that thinks when you cut the cord and you subscribe to the streaming service that you win... No, you don't.
Maybe when there was only Netflix, that was a win.
Sure. But
that's not the case anymore. Because there was never only Netflix.
No.
Amazon was like right behind it.
Yep.
But there... Anyway, so we are getting a little long, too. Maybe that's a discussion for another episode.
Wrap it
though.
Up. What are we talking about next week?
Next week. Like, can Frozen? I just get to the point?
Frozen.
Ooh, baby. Frozen.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby. This has been streaming recommendation. If you haven't got Disney Plus, like me, I'm like a kid in a candy store watching all the movies I love, and then there's all the From the Vault stuff. That's the recommendation this week. Get Disney Plus because look, The Mandalorian is worth it. Everything we have on there is worth it. Anything Disney doesn't make bad things. I mean, they make mediocre things maybe, but The Rookie was the other thing I watched with Quaid.
Okay, that's a good movie.
At like 2005, 3-ish. Sure. Yeah. It's got so many good things on there, but just check that out. Be nostalgic for a few days. Watch some stuff you saw like 2 decades ago. It'll be worth it.
Just one more thing about the morning show budget. If that is the true budget, that's more than a Game of Thrones episode per episode basis.
It's got to have something gripping and compelling to watch then. Like, it's got to be.
Okay.
Every episode's going to have to be like Network the Movie.
Sure.
You get to, I mean, let's talk about that. Anyway. This has been episode 149, Roger. We are one away from 150.
What are you doing for 150?
Next week,
talking about Frozen. What will we doing, baby?
Next week, I'm gonna have some codes for some movies to give away. Ooh, I feel like that's a good.
Just give them to me.
I don't want
to. You give complain them. All the time that I don't purchase things legally, and then you won't even give me.
Then you want me to give them to you? No, I want you to spend money on these things.
Listen, help out the studio. How about we make it an arrangement right now that you just give me the codes, and I'll make sure they get distributed to people.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you one of the three. How's that sound?
Do I get to pick it?
Sure.
Okay.
One of the three. That was a very reluctant okay.
I accept your compromise.
All right, next week is 150. We're going to be getting some codes from digital movies. Good digital movies, too, so be around for that. Each new episode posts every Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. on the podcast service of your choice of the following four: iTunes, Podbean, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Please leave a comment or two, rate, subscribe. Every little bit helps. But more importantly, thank you for listening. Check out the show on Twitter at LoveCinemaPod. I am at GraysonMaxwell1.
I am at Rod Stillian.
Don't forget to check out the Facebook page. Always posting things there. And YouTube. We're also on YouTube. We do 5 to 7 minute skits about movies we isolate each week. This one will inevitably be Ford v. Ferrari. Next week, we'll be talking about 21 Bridges, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Frozen 2, and the second episode of The Mandalorian from Disney Plus.
And it's Thanksgiving.
We'll also, on Thanksgiving, I'll do a post of some great Thanksgiving movies to watch to celebrate, yada, yada, yada. But so expect cool things from that. And Roger, as always, do you want to make it weird before that?
So I've acquired all three starter Pokemon in my run-through from Sword and Shield. And I feel like my talents are being wasted because this game is hard. And I should be already being paid millions of dollars for people to watch me play this video game. And as you stare at me blankly like that, it hurts.